Andrew, very welcome back to Lifeline. Now, I should be joined on the line by Andrea McDermott. Good morning to you, Andrea.
Good morning, Debbie.
How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you very much.
Great. Now, Andrea, you're speaking to us there from the organisation Amen. And as we know, Amen is the only dedicated support service for male victims of domestic abuse in Ireland. Tell us a little bit about the organisation and when it was founded.
Okay, so Amen was founded in 1997 by a lady called Mary Cleary. And Mary Cleary was a nurse in accident and emergency department. And she had noticed that men were coming into the hospital with unexplained injuries. And when she eventually spoke to them and realised that they were actually being abused at home by their partners, so she decided to set up Amen. And she initially started it from her sitting room, and she had her home phone number, so men would call and she would give them information around domestic abuse and what was happening to them. And then it went from there, and we are now state funded by TUSLA, by COSC and by PUBL. So we have a much larger service now at the moment. We're based in Navan in County Meath, and we run a helpline now from 9 to 5 Monday to Friday. We also have outreach clinics around the country, so they're in Galway, Limerick, Cork, Kilkenny, Dublin, and we have the service here in Navan as well, so men can come here too. If they ring the office, they can come in and sit on a one-to-one. One of our support workers here too.
So it's great you have a lot of offices nationwide, but you are the only dedicated support service for male victims of domestic abuse. You know, I know a lot of men don't probably talk about how they're feeling, you know, or how, or even to ask for help. So, you know, and it's 2019. I did an interview going back 2 years ago with a man who was with your organisation, and he had experienced domestic abuse, but it took him a long time to actually admit it. He actually didn't realise he was suffering mental abuse. It was mental abuse, actually, he was going through, but that's all.
Yeah.
I mean, they say there's 4 types of abuse. Did you hear? Okay. Could you explain exactly what that means?
Well, so there would be physical abuse, verbal, psychological, and financial. And now, with the new domestic violence bill, there's a new offence of coercive control. So, what coercive control is the threat of abuse, or making them do something, you know, with the threat of abuse there, or the threat of that's going to impact their lives in some way. So where we find a lot of men who call the service, actually 72% of men who have called Amen in 2016 were suffering from coercive control and from psychological abuse. So it wasn't an offence at that stage. So if they were trying to apply for an order, so say the man is going home and his wife is refusing to let him sleep at night, so she's keeping him up throughout the night, so he's going to work the next day exhausted. Or I had one guy who would have water poured in his bed at night time so that he couldn't sleep. The windows would be left open in the bedroom in the middle of winter. You know, he'd come home, it'd be freezing, you know. Or checking on everything that he does, you know, checking the mileage, you know, only allowing him a certain amount of money for petrol. So all of this was having such a huge impact on this man's life that he was contemplating suicide.
Yeah.
At that stage, then the likes of a protection order or a safety order wouldn't have covered, you know. But now, with the new offence of coercive control, he can apply to the courts and look for the court's protection, you know, in around this kind of abuse as well now, and around psychological abuse. So it's a huge leap. There's also the new, the Gardaí now have a lot more power, so that if they come to a scene of a home where there's been violence and they come in at 2 o'clock in the morning, they now have the power to remove the perpetrator of the violence from the home. So yeah. Whereas they didn't have before, they would have had to, only a judge could remove somebody. Now the Gardaí will have that power. In saying that, we're also hoping that we're going to be in doing training now in Templemore with the Gardaí as well, just to make sure that, because society's view, I suppose, is that domestic abuse is a man abusing his partner or his children, you know. So it's making sure that when Gardaí arrive at the scene, that they see that this person who's being abused might be the man, you know.
Yeah,
so not
right.
Automatically to assume that the woman is the victim and the man is the perpetrator, you know. So
I know,
and the statistics now are showing as well. Our counterpart, Mankind, over in the UK and Australia, the the campaign over there, the One in Three campaign, is showing that one in every three victims of domestic abuse is a man.
Really?
You know, yeah, absolutely. And the same would be said for Ireland, you know. But at our statistics at the moment here, you know, are also showing that it takes a man up to about 30 or 35 times he'll pick up the phone to call a man before he actually lets it go through and talks to a support worker.
I'd say a lot of men in Ireland are suffering in silence due to probably the embarrassing fact that his wife maybe, I know the guy I spoke to a few years ago, his wife was quite small, he was quite a big man, he had a high power job and was too embarrassed to phone or to let anybody know, so he suffered in silence for years, and that's probably what happens to a lot of men until they get to the point where they just can't take anymore.
Absolutely. And men, like, one of the biggest factors would be disbelief, you know, the worrying about not being believed, you know, and that does happen because, you know, men, if they're physically bigger or stronger, but size has absolutely nothing got to do with domestic abuse, you know, so size is nothing. I mean, we have men who are Gardaí, who are being abused in their home, you know, so they're tackling criminals on the streets, and then they're going home and they're being abused by their wives, you know, and it's especially the psychological abuse, or they're hitting them, you know. So what is this man supposed to do, you know, when he goes home and he's been, you know, he's been hit with, you know, the old cliche is the frying pan, you know, and people would think, you know, oh, this is hilarious, he walked in, he got hit with the frying pan. They're serious injuries, you know, these are serious assaults on men, you know, and when their peers are you know, are finding it funny or thinking it's a joke, because it's still quite taboo in this country, you know, then the men themselves feel like, well, I can't really be, you know, complaining about being abused, you know, because people think it's, you know, it doesn't happen, or they'll think, you know, that I'm effeminate, or that, you know, I can't take care of myself, you know, where this woman is attacking me, you know. But they're, you know, and what we do say, if a man, you know, tells me that his, you know, his partner is pushing him, and she's, you know, and the only thing they can do is walk away at that stage when the abuse is happening, try and walk away from it, obviously never hit back or never get, you know, get into a conflict like that, you know, and come in and talk to us. You know, there are a lot of options that men can do when they're being abused, you know, we offer counselling service here as well. So we have counselling, and we're rolling that out around the country, hopefully in 2019, because we're doing a whole restructure of the service. So hopefully we'll have counselling services all around the country as well, so men can come in and talk to a professional counsellor as well about what's going on and look at all his options moving forward and what he can and can't do.
So, there is plenty of help out there. It's just pick up the phone and ask for the help.
Making the call.
Absolutely. And probably...
And awareness. Yeah. You know, and stop it from being a taboo subject, because it happens. You know, it happens to men, you know, all around the country. You know, and it doesn't matter, you know, what your job is, or whether you work or don't work, or, you know, it has no, you know, domestic abuse is not discriminative, you know. It happens to so many different men around the country, and women, obviously, you know, around the country, but it happens to men too. So it's getting the men to, you know, to think, it's okay, I can talk, I can ring amen and tell them what's happening, and there is help out there for me.
And I know probably one of, as you said, one of the, I suppose, fears of a man, I suppose, asking for help or deciding that he can't do this anymore, he's going to walk away, is the children. And he doesn't want the children probably to be left with the abusive wife, but yet if he brings the children, then he'll, you know, probably will be made, you know, leave the children with the wife. And a lot of it is just, you know, the fear of what happens and what if I say this. So it's just talking to somebody.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's a huge fear for men who will call amen, you know, is that because there are no refuges for men who are suffering from domestic abuse. In fact, there's not even a bed in the country for a man to flee to who's suffering from domestic abuse. So one, you know, if he decides that he can't, you know, he decides to leave the relationship, he has nowhere to go. If he doesn't have friends or family who can help him, or money to rent another place, then he has nowhere to go, and he's in the homeless system. You know, his children then at that stage are not going to be, you know, going to visit him in a homeless shelter or have overnight access to his children. You know, so we can talk to him around, you know, helping him to find somewhere to go, helping him in the courts, looking for access to his children. The courts do tend, you know, children do tend to stay with mummies, you know. But we can also show that daddies are just as good, you know, that they can have as much custody as well, you know, of the children together. So it's shown them that, you know, if they do decide to leave this violent relationship, that they can get access to their children, they can move on, they can find places to stay. You know, they're not stuck there. They can, just make the call, like, we'll help them, you know, and around all these issues that they're worrying about.
And if you feel, Andrea, or if there's men listening here today and they're in a, I suppose a type of domestic abuse relationship, you know, they're probably saying, well, maybe it's just started, maybe it's the second time that's maybe she's hit him, or the first even time.
Yeah.
Does it ever change? Do they say, oh, well, maybe it was a once off and I'm sorry and I won't do it again, and it happens the second time, or I'll never do it again?
Yeah.
Do abusers change?
Yeah. I suppose for an abuser to change, they would have to, I suppose, do a lot of therapy and understand why they're doing what they're doing. You know, why they're behaving the way they are, why they're lashing out at their partner. At the same time, our job is to protect the man, you know, until that person decides, you know, that they have an issue. You can't change unless you acknowledge that you have an issue in the first place. You know, so unless they acknowledge that this is wrong and that they have overstepped the line and that they are abusive, then they can't change.
Mm.
You know, so it's and the man, the person who's been abused, can't change that person either. You know, they have to decide that they're doing something wrong, and they have to want to change themselves. You know, so they can, but they have to make that step themselves. Nobody can change them.
Yeah.
And the person who's the victim of the abuse can't change them either.
Yeah. So that's true. And I suppose another question is confidentiality. Like, if they ring your helpline, it's all confidential and it's not.
Absolutely. Yeah. What we are governed by Children's First guidelines. So if somebody did reveal to us that there was any, that their child was being abused, or there was a danger to a child, or they had planned on, you know, doing something to a child, then we would have to reveal that to TUFLA. But other than that, it's completely confidential. We don't, I mean, a man can ring us and, you know, he doesn't even have to reveal his name if he doesn't want to. You know, if he's looking for information, you know, he can call us. So it would be confidential.
And is there a cost to this?
And confidential one-to-one. Nope.
Right.
There's no cost at all. And for our one-to-one support, there's no cost either. So the men can come, they can get free, you know, information and free help from our support workers here and in our outreach clinics around the country.
But there's still, at today, like in 2019, there's still nowhere for a man to go if he needs to get out in a hurry.
No, at the moment there isn't, and this is where we're looking for funding as well, you know, to help to have beds around the country for men who need to flee. Because there are men who need, you know, if they're leaving hospital, yeah, they've had severe injuries from domestic abuse and they need somewhere to go. So that's something we are fighting for at the moment. You know, because I suppose 16% of our disclosures in 2016 were related to physical abuse, and some of them really severe physical abuse as well. But a lot of the men will tell us that the psychological abuse is what damaged them the most.
Yeah.
You know, the constant put downs, the constant being told they're useless day in, day out, you know, and, you know, even that guy who's, you know, the bed has been, water has been poured on the bed or not being allowed to sleep. A lot of men would tell us that story, you know, seems to be a common one, that they're not allowed to sleep at night, you know, and that's so damaging to them. And then, you know, and continuing forward into work, we would often also get, you know, HR professionals calling in because somebody has been turning up to work late, and they're on their phone all the time in work, you know, and when it comes to the attention then of management, when they're spoken to about it, it turns out that they're suffering from domestic abuse, where their partner at home is constantly ringing them, you know, is hiding the car keys, so they're late going into work, you know, they have to leave early because they're getting a call demanding them to come home and mind the children because their partner wants to go somewhere, you know. So it's looking out for these signs in the workplace too.
So it could be alert, and
they might not be just late.
Yeah, true. And that we have faulting that ad on telly where it's they come home after a night out and you can hear the man being abusive to his wife. But if you know of somebody, or you know what's going on as a neighbour or a friend, should we intervene? I know people don't want to interfere anymore, but should we take that step forward and say, are you okay? Do you need help?
Yeah, I would. I would certainly not contact the person who's perpetrating the abuse, and not step in that way, or sit the two of them down together, because the person who's suffering from the abuse is the one who's going to get it when they leave. You know, it will be the blame will be put on them. So I would talk to your friend and you know, and ask them, are they okay, and ask them, you know, give them the number, you know, to Amen. If there's a man suffering out there and you know he is, you know, definitely do talk to him, you know, but talk to him quietly.
Yeah.
You know, don't. And if you're a family member, you know, it's talking to them, you know, telling them that, you know, that you're worried about them, and that, you know, but don't push them away, because isolation is one of the biggest parts of in a domestic abusive situation, is isolating this person from their family and friends, so they have them on their own then. So don't jump in and tell them what they need to do. You know, it's letting them know that you're there for them, that, you know, they can talk to you at any stage, and when they're ready, you know, if they want to come from you, they'll know they can trust you.
Yeah, true. They know you're there. At least if they know there's a safe person they can go to, I suppose it helps as well. So do you have a 24-hour helpline?
We don't at the moment. At the moment, our helpline is Monday to Friday from 9 to 5. So, as I said, we're restructuring the whole service and hopefully looking for more funding so that we can bring that up to 9 p.m. Yeah. And then, you know, 12 p.m. and then eventually hopefully have a 24-hour helpline. But our helpline number at the moment is 046.
Yeah.
So it's 046-902.
Yeah.
7518.
Okay, 046-902-7518. I'll give that out by the end of the show as well.
Yep, and we also have another number, so it's 0818-222240.
Great, and what if someone needs your help and they want to speak face-to-face but they can't get into your office? Do you have any outreach clinics around?
Our outreach clinic, so would be, you would need to contact the office and make an appointment then for the outreach clinic. But they are in, we have one in Dolphin House in Dublin, and Jerry is our support worker there. And Jerry is there every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. and he takes hourly appointments. And then we have a clinic in Galway, in Cork, Kilkenny, and they're monthly appointments. And they will be rolled out again as in from February. So if somebody wanted to ring the office to make an appointment for a face-to-face, we'll take that appointment there.
And just once again, specify that you are confidential. You are there to help if any man needs help. Just pick up the phone and nothing will be discussed outside, as you said, apart from if the children are being affected by it.
Exactly, if they reveal that to children. And can I just give you that other helpline number first? I think I might have given you the wrong number. So it's 046... 902-3718.
3718, great, okay. And that's 9 to 5?
That's 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. If the phone line is closed, you can leave a message and a support worker will absolutely get back to you. We also have an email service, so if they wanted to email in to info@amen.ie.
Okay. And just before I let you go, Andrea, the four signs of abuse, as before, I know it's not just domestic abuse. Just get it out there again, the four signs of abuse for men.
So there'd be the physical abuse and verbal abuse, psychological, financial, and the new offence of coercive control. We also, on our website, have a list. So if you went to Amen, www.amen.ie, on our website, we have a list of possible, you know, if you read the list of possible signs of abuse. So sometimes a lot of men call and they're unsure if they're actually being abused. So, you know, if you read the signs and you might find that, you know, you are being, if you read things that are happening to you. So if they go onto the website and...
They can read up and find out, yeah. Definitely. And don't take it. I mean, I'm hoping the next time we speak to the organisation that there will be a safe place that if men have to flee throughout the night that they can go to, because there's probably not enough for women here either. I know there is a lot more, but, you know, we still need more help. But there needs to be one place that they can go to if they need to get out in a hurry.
There has to be somewhere.
But listen, thanks a million for talking to us this morning, Andrea, on Lifeline.
You're very welcome, Debbie.
And to get that out there.
Thank
okay?
you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Debbie. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And that was Andrea McDermott, who is support worker with the organisation Amen. And as she mentioned, Amen is the only dedicated support service for male victims of domestic abuse. If you feel you are being abused, you can go onto their site, because, as she said, sometimes you don't know the signs. It's just not physical anymore. There's four different signs. So go on to www.amen.ie. If you need help, you can give them a ring on 0818-222240 or 046-902-3718. No one has to suffer from this anymore, and there is help out there.